This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisan. It has just gone past 7:36 in the morning. It's Monday, the 21st of December. And in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. So, Roshan, what's happening today?
Well, this morning, Noah Lim will be speaking to Calvin Fu, CEO of Fantastic, the largest peer-to-peer platform in terms of the number of issuers in Malaysia. They've reportedly, they've been reporting record 20% on-month growth since August. So I guess Noah will be getting into certain things, a few things like how does Fantastic manage the risk of its issuer portfolio, as well as what is the business plan for the next 5 to 10 years, right? Take a look at that forward-looking notion. And does it plan to sell out to financial institutions in the long run? So that's the conversation she's going to be having with Calvin Fu, acting CEO of Fantastic, to discuss all this and more.
Well, interesting stuff. Meanwhile, we're having we're going to take a look at the relationship between China and Australia, because they have marked the fifth anniversary of its free trade deal last week. Now, a bit of a reminder, in 2015, the deal was seen as a diplomatic triumph and boosted bilateral trade by about $100 billion a year. But the present breakdown in diplomatic relations between the two countries have made observers anxious that Australian businesses could pay the price.
Australia has been a vocal critic of China, taking hard lines against Huawei and Chinese foreign interference. In response, China has hit back at the wallet. This year, China imposed a raft of tariffs and economic penalties on Australian goods, targeting beef, barley, coal, lobster, wine, and timber. Early estimates indicate that the tariffs could cost Australia $19 billion a year. So I guess the big question here is, can Australia afford to stay the course when it comes to its approach towards China, or do they need to rethink the foreign policy?
So to help us answer that question this morning is Richard McGregor, Senior Fellow at the Lowy Institute. Now, good morning, Richard. Good to have you on the show. Now, you said that the Australian government has made several unforced errors in their approach towards China. In hindsight, what should they have done then?
Well, I guess hindsight is very easy, and I'm not in government, but I understand the general direction of government policy. I just think occasionally they could have handled things diplomatically better. Now, in saying that, I'm not getting into the blame game, and I'm not saying it's Australia's fault that China is taking these trade sanctions against us, because what China is doing is quite extraordinary, really, in the way it just breaches bilateral agreements and international law. But we could have handled the coronavirus inquiry call better, and we could have handled a few other issues better as well.
Now, the impact of China's economic sanctions, could be very severe. So will the outcry from Australian businesses push Scott Morrison to change his tactics?
Well, it's a good question, actually. There hasn't been much outcry that is in public from Australian businesses yet, because I think they, for a number of reasons, I think they feel it's a dangerous for them, perhaps, to take on the government on foreign policy. Foreign policy is something the government has got to handle. They don't want to be seen to take China's side. And I guess for the moment, they think that it wouldn't do them much good to lobby the government in public. In private, I think businesses have been sort of wearing out the carpet on the way to Canberra to see ministers, to see if there's any way that the current dispute can be dialed down.
But in imposing so many economic penalties, China does seem to be making an example of Australia. So could this in any way backfire on China?
Well, as an Australian, I would hope so. We'll see. Both sides are absorbing pain at the moment as a result of these sanctions. In the case of coal, for example, which is a significant Australian export, the banning of Australian coal has forced up the price of thermal coal in China and means that some homes aren't being heated. And, of course, many businesses in Australia are suffering. The economy overall is not suffering in Australia very much, because the major Australian export to China is iron ore, and the price of that has gone up, as have volumes. So we're still doing okay, but we're extremely vulnerable. And hopefully, you know, I'm an old-fashioned, I believe trade benefits both sides. There'll be enough pain to at least alleviate the current escalation in tensions.
But the observation is that both sides have seemed to duck in their heels in this standoff. So where does this onus to soften the toe lie? Is it on Australia or is it on China?
Well, it's never going to get better unless both sides step back. I think nothing is going to change substantially in the short term. you know, we really have to have a kind of cooling off period where the rhetoric is ratcheted back, where both sides start to have more productive private conversations, and eventually we actually start meeting at a political level. You know, it's quite extraordinary. 6 years ago, Xi Jinping addressed the Australian Parliament. That was the peak of the relationship. These days, Chinese ministers won't even return the phone calls of their Australian counterparts. So until there's political dialogue, things won't get better, and we won't have political dialogue until everybody's tempers simmer down a little bit.
But Richard, just curious, do you think China is making an example of Australia because Australia is US's closest ally or one of its closest allies?
Well, that's part of it. I think China is making an example of Australia, as you say, and I think that's as a warning to other countries. Look what happens to you or could happen to you if you incur our political displeasure. I think it's doubly valuable, as you alluded to, that Australia is a close US ally. China wants to upset the alliance system, or at least to sort of minimize its impact. That's not just about military alliances, that's intelligence alliances as well. So that's another reason, I think, for China to give Australia a good kicking.
Yeah, but we've also seen the rise of wolf warrior diplomacy from China under the Trump administration. So will we see this strident nationalistic rhetoric turn more muted with Joe Biden at the helm?
Perhaps at the margins. You know, we don't know how the Biden administration's China policy is going to roll out. That's, you know, a story waiting to be told. But generally speaking, assertive, aggressive Chinese diplomacy, I think, is here to stay. There's been many critics in the West and other countries in Southeast Asia and in Japan of wolf warrior diplomacy, but the Chinese foreign ministry made a pretty strong defense of it a week or two ago, and they basically said, look, people are pushing us, we're going to push back. So wolf warrior diplomacy is kind of mainstream Chinese diplomacy at the moment, and that means it won't change until Xi Jinping signals a different direction.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Richard McGregor, Senior Fellow at Lowy Institute, giving us his views on the current Australia-China relations, which seem to be rather frosty at the moment. There's a whole long list of bans on Australian goods from barley, wine, beef, timber, lobster, sugar, cotton, copper. And apparently in China, they're no longer serving any Australian lobsters as a result of this. But on the flip side, Australians also are very suspicious of China. A recent poll by his institute showed that 94% of respondents found they wanted Canberra to reduce its dependency on China, and just 23% said they trusted China to act responsibly in the world. So quite interesting, and I think we'll be following this story as it continues. But up next, we'll be speaking to Ibrahim Sufyan, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, on the future of Pakatan Harapan. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.